Good morning and welcome to Overeats Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, September 5th, 2024, and we are continuing to read in the Big Book in We Agnostics on page 44, the third paragraph, But It Isn't So Difficult, through the end, where it ends with You Need Not Be Disconcerted. Today's readers are Sherry Z, who will read the text, Margaret D, A Vision for You, and Cara L is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Alex K, and Leslie M will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, September 4th, 10 a.m. Eastern meeting is 21,717. Again, that's 21,717. And for this morning, Thursday, September 5th, 7 a.m. Eastern, 21,719. Overeats Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeats Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Terry G. in Florida to please unmute and join us and read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Susan. My name is Terry G. from Pensacola, Florida, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service today.
Thank you so much, Terry. Now we're going to come back up to the West Coast, and Cara L. is going to kindly read the traditions of OA for us, the 12 traditions, that is. Thank you, Cara.
Good morning. This is Cara, recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as may express Himself in group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always to maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Cara L. in California. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today we're going to resume our study in the Big Book in the chapter We Agnostics on page 44, and today we're going to read and discuss the third paragraph, but it isn't so difficult due to our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. And I'd now like to invite Sherry Z to please unmute and begin reading and sharing her experience with this paragraph. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Susan. I'm Sherry, recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And we are on page 44, third paragraph. But it isn't so difficult. About half our original fellowship were of exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. Perhaps it is going to be that way with you, but cheer up. Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. So again, Sherry recovered in Southern California. A little distracted this morning with a lot going on in my home. So just putting that out there and letting God be in charge. So I was in the rooms for years and years and years. And I got to this chapter, We Agnostics, and I was like, this does not apply to me. Mm-mm. I believe in God. And I was like, it has nothing to do with me. Nothing. I believe in God. I can skip over We Agnostics. And then I came to Vision, and I realized that through study, and that's what we do here at Vision, is we study the Big Book. We don't read the Big Book, we study it. And through Vision, I saw that We Agnostics was the chapter stuck between more about alcoholism and how it works. Because We Agnostics is for everyone like me who's like, but why? I want to know why. Like, why am I a compulsive overeater? Because I believed wholeheartedly if I could figure it out, I could solve it, and then I wouldn't be one. And that question that was my agnostic question is, why, God? Like, I'm the questioner. I'm the disbeliever. And I suddenly discovered that I was an agnostic, not because I didn't believe in God, but because I didn't believe that God could help me. That's what I didn't think. And when it said but cheer up, something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. I look at that line, I'm like, wait, that's a big number. Actually, it's bigger than that. Every one of us, me starting the line, is why? If I figure it out, then I can fix it. The truth is, I don't know why. What I do know is that I have to live on a spiritual basis in order to recover from a disease that I have no idea how I got. I can conjecture, but the fact of the matter is I have only one solution because I've tried them all, and this is the last stop on the block. So thank you for letting me share, and I look forward to hearing all of you.
Thank you so much, Sherry Zed in Southern California. Okay, so if you came in partway, page 44 in the chapter We Agnostics, we are reading, which was just read, and we're commenting on the third paragraph, but it isn't so difficult due to our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you would like to share today, please give me your first name, last initial, and the state or country where you are calling from this morning. All right, pen is poised. I am ready.
Bruce E., Florida.
Thank you, Bruce. L1 to unmute if you'd like to share on this paragraph today.
Tony Ann A. from New Jersey.
Jeff A. Tony Ann. California.
Jeff, thank you.
Jeb S. from Texas.
Was that an F or an S for Sam?
F as in Frank.
Thank you so much, Deb.
It's Jeff A.
Yes, I got you, Jeff. No problem. Oh. Sorry if I didn't acknowledge you. I got you. Thank you so much. All right, well, let's stop there for now. So I have Bruce E. from Florida, Tony Ann from New Jersey, Jeff A. from California, and Deb F. from Texas. So if everybody other than Bruce could please mute their line, come on in, Bruce, and share with us. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Bruce E. I'm in Southwest Florida, and I'm recovered compulsive overeater. Let's see. But it isn't so difficult. So he's telling us not going to be too hard. Half our original fellowship was exactly that type. So half, I guess, came in agnostic or atheist. I was in both an agnostic and an atheist half my life, all the way up till age 38, and then I had a spiritual experience that changed my thinking about all that. But agnostic because I didn't know, and atheist, I didn't believe. You know, I didn't have any belief in a higher power or God or anything like that. I just thought that that didn't exist. So, but I changed, like I said, I changed my thinking, my attitude about all that. But then the problem was I came into OA, you know, with a knowledge of God, and then I thought I knew everything. So I was putting intellect over humility. I think I mentioned that in the 12 and 12, that intellect is okay, but you got to put humility over and above intellect. So I wasn't being very humble. I wasn't being very humble about it when I was an atheist. I wasn't being very humble about it after I quit being an atheist. You know, so there was a degree of humility that needed to come in there. Yeah, I mentioned this about half of it. Half of it, he mentions that half twice in here in this paragraph. Something like half of us thought we were atheists and agnostics. Our experience shows you do not need to be disconcerted, meaning feeling disturbed about it, you know. So the why, you know, like the lady was talking about before me here, the why, you know, I was asking all the whys. You know, I went through a year or two of that. Why this, why that, why me, God? You know, why do I have to be a compulsive overeater? You know, why didn't you, you know, heal me, why don't you do this, why don't you do that? And so I wanted to know the why, thinking if I knew the why, I could fix myself, kind of like what I heard previously, you know. And I can't fix myself. I need you guys. I need God, you guys, and myself to be all in agreement to to get anything done about this thing. And that's what happened. You know, I finally got humble enough to ask for a sponsor, ask somebody to sponsor me. And then I put the humility above the intellect.
Bruce.
Oh, thank you. And I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Bruce E. from Florida. Next, we're going to go to New Jersey. Good morning, Tony Ann. Thank you.
Good morning, and good morning, everybody. So happy to be here with all of you. My name is Tony Ann A. I'm from Montclair, New Jersey. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic in recovery today. This chapter, this paragraph talks a lot about the spiritual basis. As a matter of fact, if you looked at that whole page, you'd see that phrase or iterations of that phrase is throughout that page. And it lends itself to the question for me, what exactly is a spiritual basis? Well, I can tell you what it's not. It's not me stuffing my face and sticking my head in the toilet. It's not me acting out and lashing out at all of the people in my life because they're not playing the roles that I assigned to them. It's not me even just beating myself up. It's not the way that I was living my life. I grew up with a religion. I grew up with a belief in a God, but that was not living a spiritual life, and it's something completely different than what I thought. When I came into this program, I realized very quickly that I had to put aside a lot of my old ideas. And the longer that I've been around, the more I realized that I have to put aside all of my old ideas. And perhaps the definition for me of a higher power is a new set of ideas. But the only way that I was able to come to that new set of ideas was by working the program. I could not sit there and start like at step zero, a ground zero, and just all of a sudden have these new ideas in my head. It happened through experience, through experiencing the steps and following the instructions as outlined in the book. And so what I believe today, living a spiritual basis, is living in the, the principles. The principles of the program is what living in a spiritual basis means for me today. And some of those principles, but not all of them, for me, are humility, honesty, faith, courage, gratitude, and service. And the only way that I was able to get into those principles was by doing the work, turning my life over, doing a fourth step, honestly looking at what my character defects are, making amends when necessary, and then moving forward to do service and help others and having that conscious contact with my creator. But it took some time, and it's something that I believe that I came to through experience, not through knowledge. And so that's why I love that this is a program of action. And as I take those right actions each day, living in those principles, I build up a momentum of spiritual life. And it allows me to just, whatever my circumstances are, they don't matter. It allows me to have peace in my heart and peace in my head as I lay it down on the pillow at night and I sleep beautifully, comfortably, waking up to another beautiful, bright day. And I wish that for all of you. Keep going. You know, if you're unsure, just keep working this
time.
Find the guide. Thank you very much. I pass.
Thank you so much, Tony Ann A. in New Jersey. Next, we're coming back over to California. Good morning, Jeff A. Please join us and share. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jeff A. California. Gosh, I almost feel like I shouldn't even talk the first two, three people. Good enough. I guess from my point of view, let me say it this way. I have an excellent metabolism. I can eat and eat and eat and eat, and the most weight I'd ever got overweight was 45 pounds, and most of the time it was less than that. And so I thought I didn't have an overeating problem at all. But what was so interesting is I was always, and even now, I'm a nice guy, but inside my heart, I'm pissed off a lot. You know, it's just, you know, it's 3.5 years ago, my higher power said, go to OA. And I was like, well, why? I have my doctor said I'm 25 pounds overweight. But, I mean, that's nothing. I mean, I'm supposed to be at 180, and I've never been there much. I mean, I have, and I'm back. And I was doing Weight Watchers for 20 years. I have 4 lifetime achievements, you know? And it wasn't connecting the dots until my higher power said, no more for me, no more Weight Watchers. I want you to do the OA program and become a sponsor. And I was doing both, actually, for 6 months. And finally I said, okay, I'll just do it OA only. And the first year, my sponsor, we're in a certain religion, and she said, you know, she can do her alcoholic foods and still be sober. And I loved that idea. But eventually I had to let her go because it wasn't working for me. And I found a person through a different city. We just talk on the phone. I do vision, and I, on the weekends, I have 2 Zoom meetings, and I don't do too much in my town because that person is in the all court. Oh, anyways, but the whole point is I couldn't do what I was trying to do it on my own, and you're right. What the other 3 have said, I totally get it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Jeff A. in California. Next, Deb F. in Texas. Thank you, Deb.
Hi, good morning, and thank you, moderator, and thank you everyone who shared. And I'm grateful to be here today. I'm recovered in Texas, but just one day at a time here. And I just want to say that I looked up the word agnostic. You know, my thoughts were, without looking up the definition, was that maybe a belief in God, but without the power. I know that's another definition, but not believing that God can do it, right, can help me. But I looked it up, and basically it's, you know, a person who is not, you know, doesn't believe, disbelieve, or maybe doesn't believe, you know, it's like, it's kind of so like, oh, I don't need that, you know. And so, you know, I realized most of my life I was trying to run the show and had a belief in God and thought I knew what I was doing. And I just want to say today, you know, being in 12-step recovery and especially vision, I can see that I want to have my own conclusions instead of looking at the conclusion, looking at reality. And it's easy for me to go, you know, I'm not that bad, just like the previous share. You know, I'm not, come on, I don't really need this. And I kind of lived in that for most of my life in recovery, that I didn't have to do all that you guys were doing because I'm not that bad. You know, I don't put on that much weight. I just feel really good when I'm slightly gaining. Now, what's that about, right? So I just have to say today that I feel really good when I do, you know, I read the big book. I study the big book. I get the goods on me, on my behavior that is not working, and apply the principles here. And most of all, you know, I asked my higher power, what are your thoughts? You know, I mean, when I come in after a real emotional day, mostly that's what it is, or if I've overexerted myself for some reason, and I feel like, well, geez, you know, there's not enough food in the world to make me feel better. And, you know, if I turn those thoughts over, usually my higher power lets me know what I really need. You know, what, an outreach call? Do I need to just go relax for a bit, unwind, meditate? And with that, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, before I take another lineup of names, a reminder where we are. Chapter 4, We Agnostics, page 44, the third paragraph, but it isn't so difficult, through to our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. So today, if it is your third day to share, please give me your first name, last initial, and the state or country you are calling from this morning. Thank you.
Sandra Maria Sweden.
Thank you, Sandra Maria.
Hillary B. from California.
Thank you, Hillary.
Jane R. from Washington.
Linda G. from Alabama.
Hold on 1 second. Somebody G. from Alabama.
Linda G.
Linda, thank you. And then there was somebody right after you, I believe.
Sherry M.
Hi, Sherry. Good morning. Thank you.
Hi.
Jerry S., California.
Thank you, Jerry. All right, we'll stop there. So here's the list I have. Sandra Maria from Sweden, Hillary B., California, Jane R., Washington, Linda G., Alabama, Sherry M. in Wyoming, Jerry S. in California. So if everybody could please mute their line other than Sandra Maria. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Can you hear me well?
Yes, we can.
Okay, perfect. I'm Sandra Maria. I'm a compulsive eater, and right now I'm at a post store. I just felt desperate to have some medicine, so I thought, no matter what, I'm just going to go into the meeting while I'm doing my post stuff here. I even bought a charger, and I was like, shall I put money in this? Yeah, but I need my medicine. And anyway, thank you for the share. Thank you for the reading. Yes, agnosticism, I can still have as a believer. I was not saved when I came to the rooms. I didn't have faith. But today I have that, and that can be even more contradictable. I try to use only my faith without a way. It did not work in the long term. I need to have, you know, faith and a way, like the steps. And I'm redoing the steps for this time. I'm really feeling like God is really in the process. I can't explain, but it's a very deep experience. And before I went into the meeting, I had a thought like, figuring out creates fear. Like, all my life, I tried to figure out things. And even when I came to the rooms, I'm like, I can't figure out how this process works, so therefore it can't work. I can't figure out how I can stay abstinent, so therefore it cannot work, because my brain is too small, because it's God who does the work. I need to put my effort into it, and He does the rest, and I can't comprehend that with my own mind. But I just want to say that I'm extremely grateful that I'm abstinent today. It's been a really hard day. I've been at the hospital and taking all those samples. I almost fainted. I was crying. They sent me home. I couldn't take them. It was like so hard. And I listened to a lot about the fourth step, and I feel peace when I go into the program. It feels like comfort. So today, instead of comforting myself with food, which the sick mind wants me to do, I'm trying just to take medicine, and looking forward to go to bed this evening. But the only thing I need is to remain abstinent, remain in God, remain close to you, fellows. Thank you so much for listening. I'm sorry for the background noise.
Thank you, Sandra Maria from Sweden. Next, we have Hillary B. in California. Good morning, Hillary.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, Susan. And good morning, everyone. Hillary B. from California, like you heard. I was not atheist or agnostic or a believer. I just avoided the whole issue. And I spent a lot of time, because I've been in LA a long time and not really recovered, well, not recovered, period. But I started reading some books to get us to find my way to some kind of spiritual something or other. And at first it was an intellectual kind of a hoping that there really was something, and that there was something greater than me, obviously, because of the way the, you know, trees grow and babies are born and the sun comes up and all that stuff and bees. And but here it's telling me I have to find a spiritual way of life. I have to live on a spiritual basis, not just have a faith or a somewhat of a belief. I have to put it into practice. And it wasn't easy. It was so dumb to do that. But at one point I had a sponsor who was highly, highly spiritual, and he spoke in terms that made sense to me. And I remember when he told me, well, you know, when I called him with a particularly difficult situation, he says, well, this sounds like a situation you need to turn over to your higher power. I said, but I don't have a higher power. He said, that's okay, do it anyway. What? And he hung up. So I had to figure it out, what he was talking about. And I just said, okay, if you're there, whatever you are, I don't know if you're there, but if you're there, let's see what you do with this situation. Kind of like I was challenging whatever that was. And then I had to think, well, what does it look like for me to turn my will over? How do I turn something over? And this came to me, Hillary, if you just don't talk, it at least won't be your will. That was a huge revelation to me. And that's how I started. And that situation was, it was amazing the way it worked out. There was no fight, no argument, which was like never happened. And so we can start anywhere we need to start, or we can start where we are. And after all these decades, I only have a year and 4 months of abstinence, but see, I talk so much I don't even get to my point. Thank you so much for timing me. I need that. I pass.
Thank you, Hillary B. in California. Next, we're going to Washington State. Jane R., good morning to you.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. Yeah, this has been a challenge for me. I didn't think I had a problem, but I married someone 12 years ago that doesn't have the addiction of any kind, and saw that, you know, I did have a problem. And it took me to come into this program. I had a girlfriend that wanted to go, and that's how I started going, and it's been so, so wonderful. The spiritual experience has really helped me, because I thought I could do it all myself, because I was doing it all myself, not being very successful at it. And to have an alteration in my life to, embrace a higher power and kind of open up my brain and let it in has been a process. And the two-way prayer has been greatly helpful for me to do that. And, of course, outreach, everybody is great in this program. If you outreach to them, they're really helpful, and I've appreciated that. And my sponsor is great too. So the spiritual experience. I pray more than once a day now, and if I'm having a situation, I just try and relax and not get wound up about it like I have in the past, and go and eat something to calm myself, which was my go-to. And that's been really hard to not do that and have the power. And I've needed the spiritual part to give me that strength, and I need to practice it every day. Anyway, thanks everybody. I'm happy to be here and appreciate all your service.
Thank you, Jane R. in Washington. Next, we have Linda G. in Alabama. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, everyone. I needed the spiritual experience part of this program desperately. I turn to my higher power now more than I did the last time I was in program, and it has strengthened me to the point where I can do things I couldn't do before. I don't know if my partner appreciates the seriousness of my disease, and that concerns me, but I'll have to turn that over to my sponsor and talk to her about that and see if I need to chat with him about impressing him with the seriousness of my illness, because he jokes with me every time I talk to him about that, and that worries me. We have a dinner tomorrow night for my caregiver. It's her birthday, and we're celebrating it. And I was trying to figure out what to do because I've lost weight on my new food plan, and I'm below where I'm supposed to be, according to my doctors. And I didn't know how to handle that. I have to contact my nutritionist, and I'm making a commitment to do that because I've been avoiding doing that because I've been enjoying being underweight. I'm a compulsive overeater and an anorexic, and I have to put on at least 3 pounds, and I'm committing to putting on those 3 pounds, and I've been trying to decide how to do that, and I need to talk to my nutritionist about that, and I could probably do it all at this one meal because I put on weight so easily, and I turned it over to God, and God told me to eat what I'm thinking about eating and just not bring home the leftovers, which is a new idea for me. And that's what I'm going to do. And that was a new solution for me. And it was new to me to turn it over and to listen to the results. So I thank you all for listening to me.
That's time, Linda.
And for allowing me to share. And I thank you for being there and for giving service. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Linda G. in Alabama. Next up, we are going to Wyoming. Good morning, Sherry M.
Howdy from Wyoming. This is Sherry M. Gratefully recovered today. Thanks, Susan, for your service. I love this chapter. You know, it's really simple. If I have gone to all the trouble to find an Overeaters Anonymous meeting, and I've actually dialed in or I've actually gone to one in person, I am not a normal eater. Normal people do not search out AA meetings or OA meetings in order to, you know, find out if they have a problem. By that time, I know I have a problem. We just spent all these chapters. I've written down all the ways in which I've tried to help this problem. I can't do it. So guess what? There's something else that can do it, and it's a power, and it's not me. Do I believe that? Yes, great. There's no reason to debate anything else. I am now on my way to having a spiritual experience. This is what somebody told me. I faked it until I made it. You know, I acted as if I believed. I told the rehab I believed just so I could, you know, graduate from step two. And it was plenty. It opened the door. This chapter is amazing. This whole program is amazing. I cannot get in my own way, is what it's telling me. As long
Sherry, I think you're muted.
Yes, I got muted, but anyways, you know, as long as I keep an open mind, I'm on my way. And here's the other thing. Do I believe that lying, cheating, and stealing, having affairs is like a lower power that's not spiritual? Great. Do I believe in truth and honesty and the principles of our program? Then guess what? I'm already spiritual. I don't need to debate any entities. I just need to live a certain way, which is going to prevent me from picking up food. And this way of life is better than anything I could have possibly imagined. If you're here, you don't have to believe anything. You just do the steps. And guess what? It will happen to you, not by you, but with your participation. So keep coming back. If you're here, if you're new, you wouldn't be here if you weren't one of us. So we can just go forward and hold hands and get each other recovered. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
Thank you so much, Sherry M. in Wyoming. Next, we have Jerry S. in California. Thank you, Jerry.
Good morning. This is Jerry S. in California. Thank everybody for their service. You're really helping to save lives here. I'm very nervous. It's my first time sharing. I've been doing a lot of listening. But I was kicked in the butt to share on this paragraph. I came to OA with no God. We didn't do God in my family. I didn't even consider myself an agnostic. I just didn't have any old beliefs. And God took a look at me and said, here, I've got something for you. And it was in the form of a woman who asked me to sponsor her. She said, I need a sponsor. I'm anorexic. I said, I'm sorry. I'm a compulsive overeater. I don't know if I can help you. Let me see if I can find an anorexic sponsor. And I was unable to do that. I was very worried about her, and I agreed to sponsor her, but I had no clue on how to do that. So I did a lot of research on anorexia. I studied all the literature, Anorexic Bulimic Anonymous. I studied the big book. I was trying to figure out how to communicate the steps to her. Because we were both retired, I said, listen, you and I are going to meet for 1 hour every day, and we're going to go through the steps. And during that time, we got to know each other, and it turns out she's a devout Christian. And she said, I can't stand it when people say higher power, they're insulting Jesus. And, you know, the big book is blasphemous. What about the Bible? Well, I was totally beside myself. I said, listen, I'm a nice Jewish girl from Brooklyn. I overeat. You're a devout Christian who starves herself. I don't know how this is going to work. I had to study the big book like crazy and become a big book scholar so I could translate the steps in a way she could relate it to Christianity. And the longer we were together, the longer we kept seeking a God that was loving and not scary, because that was her God. So we started doing two-way prayer. One session, I wrote, dear God, I'm worried about my sponsor. She's getting weak and sick from lack of nutrition. What can I do here? And he wrote back, you don't have to worry about her. I've got her back. I sent her to you so you could find me. You know that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, where James Stewart's going to kill himself? And the angel jumps into the river, distracts James Stewart, who saves the angel. Well, this sponsee saved my ass, and I've come to believe that God is everything, and she and I are just walking each other home. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Jerry S. in California. Okay, we have time for one more share. First name I hear gets it. Okay, anybody, star one to unmute.
Juanita,
go, girlfriend.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanita, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in California. So grateful to be at the meeting today. And what stood out to me is this, is that first some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope that we were not true compulsive overeaters. And boy, was that me. I tried everything in the rooms. Just saying, hoping against hope that I was not going to have a reliance on God, be a real relationship with God, because I thought I had tried everything in the world I could to build that relationship outside of self-examination, outside of changing myself, outside of changing the way I thought and felt, outside of how I treated people and how I just was so stubborn and thick-headed and closed-minded. I didn't want to change any of those things, and my relationship never got there, never got there. You know, and I was just hoping against hope that I wasn't gonna have to really, you know, surrender everything, and that I wouldn't have to do what it took to get recovered from compulsive eating. Just hoping against hope that it would go away because I was in AA and I could just let AA work for this, please. You know, but after a while, I had to face the fact that I had to do this. I had to find a more deeper spiritual basis of life, or else curtains, it's over, you know, or else. It was the only choice I had, after trying so long. It was the only hope I had to just surrender and say, okay, whatever it is I need to do, I'm going to be willing to do it, because, you know, I could no longer evade the situation, that I was absolutely beaten, absolutely hopeless, absolutely, you know, without any other ideas. So let's try this. And thank God it worked. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Juanice and in California. Okay, well, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Team Thursday, Sherry Z, Margaret D, Cara L, Alex, Leslie, and Terry G. Please stay on if you need a sponsor or you are available. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Margaret D., will you please join us and read A Vision for You? Thank you.
Hey, everybody. This is Margaret D. in Georgia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.